720 WGN, it's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Nick Kindlesberger is here. He wrote the 11 Best Nachos in Chicago article this week in the Chicago Tribune. And we have, what do we have, three restaurants that we're going to sample today? And one of the chefs came in, Bryant Anderson from Broken Barrel on the corner of Southport and Wrightwood, who is actually handing out the food, which I think is nice.
Pam, that is very nice.
Pam, I noticed that you're sitting right in front of... all the nachos right there.
This wasn't by my design.
Okay.
I just sat down where you told me.
Got it.
And then the nachos appeared.
And now, Nick, how did you narrow it down to 11? And are they in any certain order or just...
These are not in any specific order. It's sort of alphabetical. And when it gets down to this level, it's hard because these are three very different nachos that we have here in the studio.
Okay.
So we have the Broken Barrel Bar, which is sort of... an abundantly topped nacho with the cheese sauce and all this stuff. Next to it, we have Bub City, which is barbecue nachos. So those have the smoked meat and a barbecue sauce as sort of the thing that ties it together instead of a salsa.
Right, right.
And then at Tuco and Blondie, those are all individually topped chips that have ground meat or like a meat and then cheese and then beans and then stuff, but it's not a big platter. It's like each individual one has everything it needs on it.
Interesting.
So these are just different experiences of the nacho world that you can have.
And can you go through the 11, by the way, Bub City right downtown? Ed Warm, who also owns Joe's on Wheat Street, is the owner. And Tuco and Blondie is right on Southport. That is Southport and... what is the cross street? I can't think of it in my head.
It's right, you know, right there, you know.
It's Dunlay's place. It'll come to me in a second.
So between Beaumont and Edison.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's you can see it from the thing, from the train, I know. So there's a Broken Barrel Bar, Bub City, Ditka's. Actually, I really like the ones at Ditka's. It's a pot roast nacho.
Okay.
So the meat is all...
I read that in the article. I don't know if I'm a... I mean, I grew up eating pot roast, and now I don't know if I want it in my nachos.
That's one that I was like, there's no way this is going to be good. But it was great. I really liked it.
If I can say in the chef community, like those pot roast nachos are very well known.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about those years ago.
I hated pot roast growing up. But I know it's different now. Everything's changed. This isn't your mother's pot roast.
No, it's the coach's pot roast.
It's the coach's.
Right.
Then Half Acre Tap Room on Lincoln. So they have a cheese they call science cheese.
Okay.
To make their gooey kind of cheese. So it sort of looks like Velveeta, but it's not. It's made with like really nice cheese too.
Okay.
Then Honey Butter Fried Chicken has a Thursday nacho special where they put their fried chicken on their nachos.
That was another one that I thought, are they really going to have good nachos there?
Yes, they do. They make their chips in-house. They do all this stuff. This cheese sauce is made with pimento cheese, which is excellent.
By the way, that fried chicken, off the charts.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Chef, you like that?
Yeah, Honey Butter Fried Chicken is fantastic. But that just goes to show you that nachos can really be topped with anything. You could put a pizza on top of nachos. It'd be outrageous.
Little Goat Diner. It's great. Lonesome Rose in Logan Square.
Okay.
The Moonlighter, also in Logan Square. Tuco and Blondie.
Which is Southport and Roscoe. I couldn't think of it.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. And then Twisted Spoke.
Sure.
They have a barbecue nachos with fried onions on top.
Yep.
That's delicious. And then the one that really surprised me was Upton's Break Room, which had vegan nachos. And the cheese sauce, so it's not real cheese, but it is super creamy and really well done.
Is everything locally owned, these 11?
None of these are big chains, for sure.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, Pam, let's start with you.
Okay.
These are the nachos from Broken Barrel, right?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, awesome.
All right.
Wow.
So that's got our hickory smoked brisket on there. It's got some of the pickled onions, the roasted Brussels sprouts, and then the wonderful smoked jalapeno cheese sauce. Gas station cheese.
No napkins. You have to wipe it on your shirt.
You know what? I'm licking my fingers. This is really good.
How do you make the nachos where it's not soggy?
It's all about the cheese to chip ratio. And then, like, for me, it's like I know it sounds super nerdy, but the viscosity of the cheese sauce.
If you're a chef, this is your job. This is what you have to come up with.
Yeah. You're an expert on the radio. I'm an expert on building nachos, among other things. So. But yeah, it's all about the topping ratio. And like Nick knows that, you know, if it's too soggy with beans or too much sour cream, too much watery salsa, it's just going to be.
Some of the ones that really failed were the ones that tried to put too much on. and because then the chips just collapse, and then you pick up a chip and it breaks, and it's just heartbreaking.
It's like a pizza. They say three ingredients and that's it. Anything over three, it's just, it becomes soggy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like in your article, Nick, you referenced those broken chip nachos with the duck on it.
Yeah.
That was just, that was heartbreaking to see how bad those nachos were.
Yeah, yeah. You can see the picture and it's just so sad. Just
so lame as nachos go.
All right, Pam, pass that down. Curtis, what are you trying right now?
I have the pulled chicken with some cheese and jalapenos on it. And they are like a little soggy. I think it might be just the to-go container. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they are very good. They're a little spicy, which I like spice. They're
right
with the jalapeno kick
and
on.
This is from Tuco and Blondie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, nachos are definitely not a good delivery food. They're like, you want to get it at the restaurant or quickly from the kitchen to your table.
Right.
It does not lend itself for Grubhub or Uber or anything like that.
Okay.
I really like the pickled onions on those nachos that I just tried. They're awesome. Thank you.
It's all about the pickled, isn't it, Chef?
It is. And we pickle everything in-house at the restaurant. So we pickle those onions in-house, the jalapenos, the Fresnos, pickled cauliflower. We do everything homemade.
That's such a Depression era thing because I grew up, my grandmother used to pickle. We pickle everything in our house from turnips to beets to tomatoes, you name it. My mother would do it. My grandmother.
What was once a Depression era like necessary thing is now a fad. Like everyone's doing
homemade pickles.
It always
comes back around, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Instagram made it cool. That's why.
Curtis?
They're good. I just realized I bit into a huge jalapeno, so I got a ton of spice in my mouth right now. Yeah,
you got it.
But they're really good. The chicken is very good, very tender, and the cheese. I like the cheese mix on there too.
Okay, I like it. You want to pass that down? You and Pam can switch.
Yeah. What's this one?
This one is Bub City.
Okay, I'm gonna try Bub City now.
So it has the smokiness going on.
Tell us about the Bub City again. That's the one with the barbecue sauce.
Yes, yeah, so barbecue sauce, and then just the. It's not a mild barbecue sauce. It has a little bit of heat that kind of comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And and they're in a sort of gooey cheese sauce as well.
I like a little kick in everything I eat.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah, you have to. And if I can just say, like, you heard that crunch on the radio, like, that's a good chip right
there. Yeah, that's a good chip.
Okay, I'll try again.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, that's a satisfying sound.
So, Pam, Bub City.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Excuse me. This is awful. I'm talking with my mouth full. I like the barbecue sauce. I'm a big barbecue sauce eater. In fact, I like the sauce better than I like the meat most of the time on anything.
Okay.
So it's not too much. I like the fact that everything seems balanced. It's not too much. And the kick is not very much of a kick. I don't feel it yet.
So, Nick, like for me on those nachos, the barbecue sauce adds the vinegar element because there's nothing pickled on there.
That's correct, yeah.
So the barbecue sauce really enhances those nachos from Bub City.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried a few other barbecue nachos, and I thought they were too sweet. They didn't have anything to cut. The barbecue sauce was just too sweet, and there wasn't the vinegar element that I really wanted.
Does Bub City make their own barbecue sauce?
I would assume so.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure. All right, Curtis, what are you eating over there?
I have the Broken Barrel ones here.
Okay. Broken Barrel at Southport and Wrightwood. You guys are eating like kings here.
Wow. Tough day on the job.
I'm going to be in food coma in a minute.
I'm going to take a nap. We still have an hour and a half left of this show.
I really like these. The cheese sauce is phenomenal.
Thank you.
I love
much.
The cheese sauce on them. And I agree with Pam. I like the pickled onions on them.
Mm-hmm.
Also adds a nice little taste to it.
What is it with the, you have the cheese and the pickle. Is there something that, the savory or... I don't know what they call it.
Definitely, yeah. It's like the sweet savory balance. You've got the sweet pickled onions. You've got the, like these ones, I put some chopped brisket on there for you guys. But yeah, you got to have a nice sweet savory balance. It really just, makes a fantastic flavor on the tongue.
Now, people are listening right now thinking, why are they eating on the radio? Well, we want you to make some of these at home. So,
absolutely.
Chef, give them some pointers how they can make it at home because, Nick, we'll get to you in a second because you're experimenting with this.
Oh, yes, for sure.
After going around the city. Mm-hmm. So where do they start? What do they do?
You can just go to your local grocery store, get a bag of tortilla chips. I highly recommend the El Milagro tortilla chips. Put them on a sheet tray.
Now, El Milagro?
El Milagro. It's a local tortilla company on the south side. And they
is that the green
the
and red at the store?
Yeah, in the paper or the plastic package.
Yep.
But those are the tortillas for tacos. You can buy a bag of pre-cooked tortilla chips that El Milagro has, which are fantastic.
Okay.
You can buy those at the grocery store. Start with those, cover them with shredded cheese, pop them in the oven, take them out, put whatever you want on top, and you're good to go.
That's it.
It can be that simple. If you want to get crazy with the toppings, go overboard.
Now, do you throw it in the oven? What do you do?
Yeah, you want to take the chips on a sheet tray with some shredded cheese, pop them in the oven, maybe 5 minutes at like 400 degrees, pull them out. You know, be careful pulling out the pan. It's going to be hot. And probably don't dive in right away. You'd be surprised how many people burn themselves in something like that.
I don't understand that.
And then be mindful that the cheese is going to be hot. But yeah, top it with sour cream. Some pickled jalapenos out of a jar from the grocery store is perfectly fine.
So how long do you cook it?
Maybe 5 minutes in the oven. You know,
that's
about
it.
400 degrees.
Yeah. 400, 5 minutes.
Yeah, until the cheese is nice and bubbly and melted.
Do people overcook? Is that the biggest mistake they make?
They certainly can, especially with nachos. You might not think you can overcook nachos, but they start getting burned, and then they'll taste bitter. So you just want to be mindful of, you know, not browning the chip too much on the perimeter of the sheet tray when it goes in the oven.
Okay, Nick, you started this all with the article in the Tribune this week, the 11 best nachos in Chicago.
That's right.
So you're making your own batch of nachos at your house.
Yeah, so on Monday, I'm going to publish a post about how to make your own nacho bar at home. So this way you can have everyone over and not worry about what specifically they want on their nacho. You can have the base, which is just the chip, cheese, and jalapeno. And then you can make refried beans or salsa or all chorizo on the side and sort of individually top each chip to your liking. So I've been working a lot on how much cheese should go on each individual chip. I've measured it. It's currently, right now, it's at 5 grams.
Okay, I have a question before you move on.
How am I going to measure that?
my biggest problem is cheese. What kind of cheese do you use, and where do you get the cheese? Let me ask the chef first before you answer.
Sure, you could easily buy a bag of the Mexican shredded blend at
That's
your local
it?
Grocery store. It's that easy. If you want to get crazy, you could put, like, you know, you could go to the deli and buy a hunk of cheddar or a hunk of, like, some Munster or some Swiss if you want to get crazy with the cheeses. But you could easily start with just a bag of Mexican shredded from the grocery store.
Nick, what do you use?
So, yeah, I mean, any cheese you could basically, that melts well. You don't want to get a super hard, sharp cheddar because that's going to just become oily and stringy. You need something that melts. The original one for the original nacho was called Longhorn Cheddar, which I'd never heard of before I did this research, but it's very similar to Colby cheese. And but the Longhorn Cheddar literally just looks like a half moon, like a half circle. And I was able to find it at Carniceria Jimenez in Logan Square, which is a Mexican grocery store.
Right.
You can use that or Colby or a very mild cheddar. And then you can either buy it pre-grated, but I like to grate the cheese at home because some of the bags have some anti-clumping ingredients that doesn't melt as well as I would like.
They do?
Yeah, that's actually, when I get really particular at a restaurant, I can tell if a restaurant is using pre-shredded cheese or shredding it fresh because it melts a lot better if you shred it fresh, like Nick said.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do they put in the bag? I never knew that.
Well, it depends on the company, but there is a wood chip product that they do put in.
Are you kidding
me? It is edible, and it's not going to kill you, but yeah, I mean, when you're shredding cheese, like, it's going to go bad eventually, so they have to add things to make it last longer and stay fresh. So not to say that you should never buy shredded cheese, but those are some of the things that come with that convenience.
So if you're having a Super Bowl party and you want to make nachos, probably for the best to go to the deli instead of buying a bag.
I would say so, yes. It'll just make a much meltier cheese on top of your tortilla chips.
Okay.
And we're here about making the best nachos, not just okay nachos, right? Don't you want to make the absolute pinnacle of nachos that you can? So if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. That's fine. But if you really, really want to geek out, this is what you should do.
And if we are going to a party, it's not a good idea to make nachos because they don't travel well.
No, do not make them at home. Make them at the party.
And how much is too much to cook in your oven?
Oh, man, I don't think there's never too much nachos.
Well, I mean, because if you have too much, it's not all going to cook evenly, right?
Sure. If you have a sheet tray on your counter and you just cover it in like 3 bags of chips, I mean, and you have cheese everywhere, cheese in the middle is not going to melt. So you want to be mindful of your chip-to-cheese ratio like Nick was talking about. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I would say that you want to have a single layer of chips on a sheet tray and then top those with cheese, cook that. As Brian was saying, and then you can always make more. But I totally had people over for lunch to have nachos today, and I did one tray for 4 people, and that wasn't enough.
Oh my
They told me it wasn't enough.
Wow. Chef, they always say never trust a skinny chef. You're in great shape. What's going on?
Thank you. I used to be much, much larger, but just proper diet and exercise. I still eat everything at the restaurant. Just portion control really
How does
helps.
That work? Because I feel like you're around food, you're always going to be picking, and it becomes a habit and a weird deal, and you have to break that habit somehow.
Yeah, the owner does it at Broken Barrel Bar. We call it grazing, where he just kind of he just floats the line, grabs a pickle, grabs a tomato slice, a little piece of brisket like that. But just be mindful of what you're eating. And like, obviously, tater tots are fantastic, or these chips are fantastic. I don't have to eat a chip every single day, or a tater tot every single day.
So. Right. I love the tater tots. Oh, so
they're
underrated.
Fantastic. They make good nachos, too. Tachos.
Yeah, what? You can't have tachos.
Wait, Nick, hold that thought, because I have to get in a commercial break here, and we'll come back and we'll talk. What are they called?
Tachos.
Tachos?
Tachos.
So tater tot nachos.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole world that we have not even talked
about. Wow. All right.
How much time do you have to eat?
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. In studio with us is Nick Kindlesparger. 11 best nachos in Chicago was the article he wrote in the Tribune this week. I'm sure that it's on your Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Facebook page, Chicago
Twitter,
Tribune.
ChicagoTribune.com.
All the good stuff.
Got it. And the chef at Broken Barrel at Southport and Wrightwood, Chef Bryant Anderson. And before break, we were talking about tater tots.
Yes.
Tater tot nachos.
So it's just like nachos. Instead of chips, you use tater tots?
Yeah. So
did I miss this in Chicago somewhere? I guess I've seen waffle fry nachos.
So
same thing, right?
People
same
ask concept. Me a lot if I tried them, and I just felt like that was too much, and I'm but one man, and so I just focused on the tortilla chip
nachos. By the way,
nachos.
If people are just tuning in, Nick researched this for a month around Chicago, went to 40 places in 30 days.
But there are all kinds of crazy nachos out there, like the tachos, which have the base of the tater tots.
Okay.
And then there are Ohio nachos, which are potato chips that they then put cheese and all this stuff on.
I don't think I like that.
There's waffle fry nachos.
I had those, yeah. McGee's has those.
Crispy wonton nachos that were at Aberdeen Tap that I was really excited to try, but I decided to just focus on the corn tortilla. So, there's all this other stuff out there that you can get into as well.
Wow. Okay. So
the tachos is tough because those really start to get soft.
I was just going to say
immediately, you have to just inhale that as soon as it hits the table. Stop talking to everybody and just go for
eat.
It. Yeah.
Have you made those at home?
No, I haven't. But I've had them at a few places.
Chef, do you like that?
I like loaded tots, but like Nick was saying, yeah, they get to the table and they become a congealed mass of fried tater tots so quickly that you really have to dive into it. Nachos lend themselves to, like, you know, you have friends at a restaurant, you're all standing around,
right.
You know, they can sit there for a minute and maintain their, you know, their attractiveness and their stability. But tachos are okay, but you kind of get sacrilegious where you top everything with everything else and it's called a new name and it's some new wild food. So you got to draw the line somewhere.
How do you come up with new ideas being a chef?
Oh, man, it's a lot of... It's going to sound silly, but I wish I had some elaborate answer. But it's a lot of just standing in the cooler and staring at food items.
That's it.
And like dream, like, what can
I do with
this?
Your friends tell you, gosh, you should, Brian, you should try this, man. You should try to make this.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And I love all my friends. A lot of their ideas are terrible and just not executionally realistic in a high stress environment of a kitchen. But like we were at a food competition yesterday and coming up with that dish, it was a lot of just looking at the ingredients I have at the restaurant. What can we mix together? You know, what wild new flavor profile can we come up with?
That's, I mean, I love Broken Barrel. I've been there 100 times.
Thanks,
you have great food.
Thank you.
And I do want to say, Ed Warm is a Chicago institution. He's the guy that owns Bub City. Ed owned High Tops back in the day by Wrigley Field.
Oh, sure.
He owns Joe's on Weed Street now and Bub City, which is in your top 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Dunlay is a close friend, and he owns how many restaurants in Chicago?
Dunlay's on the Square, Remington's. Yeah, they've got that big hospitality group.
Yes. You know, all the places on Southport. Crosby Kitchen, and of course, Tuco and Blondie, which was also on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Why Tuco and Blondie's nachos? I don't know if I got your reason why you love them so much.
So they are an example of the kind of nacho where you individually top every single chip with... They actually put refried beans on first, and then a meat, and then the cheese. So it's almost like a little pizza, if you think about it. And it's... That's a really interesting way to approach nachos, and actually a lot closer to how nachos were invented in the 1940s. So this is actually closer to the original than the other two that are here today, though equally as delicious. It's just different style.
So back to the beginning of the interview. Mm-hmm. So when nachos were invented in the 1940s?
Yeah.
Why?
So the story
and
goes,
by whom again?
So it was in a it was by a guy named Ignacio, and he had a group of women Americans that came across the border to have lunch at his restaurant, and they were drinking a lot and they were getting hungry, mm-hmm. and the cook went home, and so he didn't know what to do, so he just went into the kitchen, put tortillas, you know, then the cheese and then the pickled jalapeno, and sent them out, and he called them his specialty just to make them feel good,
right.
And the short the sort of the nickname of Ignacio is Nacho. So people called him Nacho, so they were Nachos Especiales. And,
oh my gosh.
Then the name was shortened to Nachos.
Wow.
And it slowly spread around Texas first, I think, is where sort of the heart of it is. Mm-hmm. And then it just exploded in the 70s when someone figured out how to make the processed cheese that you have at ballparks. So this is actually where Nachos actually blew up in popularity, was in Texas again. I think it was in Arlington with the Texas Rangers. They're around in the 70s, right? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And a very smart businessman created the molten cheese that would stay liquid no matter what you did. And that was invented then.
Wow. I learned a lot from you.
Yeah. See, I think people don't take nachos seriously, but they're fascinating.
Nick, you're the best. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
Nick DK.
And Bryant, Broken Barrel,
absolutely.
Southport, and Wrightwood.
Yep, at Chef Brian Anderson on Instagram or at Broken Barrel Bar on Instagram.
I love it. I'm going to start following you on Instagram. Do you take pictures of food? I hope so.
Absolutely.
You're a chef.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, probably too much so.
Guys, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Thanks again to Tuco and Blonde and Bub City for sending in nachos. All right, quick break. We're going to check news, top of the hour, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And Todd Rundgren will join us at 4:05 at 720 WGN.